Immigration is a hot issue in our country today, with 11 million unauthorized and 37 million lawful immigrants in our country. What does God expect of us regarding immigrants? Dr. Rex Rogers joins me to talk about it on Encouragement Live.
Welcome to Encouragement Live, providing biblically based encouragement and insight on a wide range of practical life issues. Now here's your host, Don Hawkins, author of Master Discipleship Today.
Thank you, Steve. And friend, it's so good to have you with us as live from studios located in First Christian Church of Wiley, Texas. Encouragement Communications presents Encouragement Live. Our mission is to provide biblically based encouragement and insight on a wide range of issues. And one of the hottest issues in our country today is immigration. We have 11 million unauthorized immigrants in our country, 37 million lawful immigrants, a total of 48 million people, and we want to see what God's Word says that we ought to do. Our topic tonight, we're not going to take a political perspective on it, but rather a spiritual and biblical, and the ideal person to do that is Dr. Rex Rogers. He's the president of SAT7 USA, former president of Cornerstone University. He's authored a number of books, including Christian Liberty, Living for God in a Changing Culture, and Gambling, Don't Bet on It. Rex, always good to have you on the program. Good evening.
Thank you, Don. Good to be back.
Now, I have to ask you, you were working on a book called Be One of God's Unlikely Leaders, Live with Focus and Get Things Done. Have you gotten that book done yet?
I don't have it finished because I've been drifting out, creating a podcast. But I've been thinking about getting back to that book, Lord willing. So.
You know, I just signed up for your podcast a couple of days ago. Signed up on LinkedIn, and I'm looking forward to getting it. You know, I have a podcast as well, Encouragement yes. for You. Remind me of the title of your podcast.
It's Discerning What is Best with Dr. Rex M. Rogers.
Yeah, it's a great, great topic, discerning what is best. And I would encourage you, you can go out there probably to Spotify or Apple or any of those sources, wherever you get your podcast, and check out Dr. Rex Rogers and get a good biblical perspective helping you discern what is best. Rex, if you will, remind us of what SAT7 is all about.
SAT7 is based in Cyprus, a little island country there in the Mediterranean. And we broadcast via satellite, of course we also use the internet now, Christian programming in Arabic, Farsi, that's Persian, and Turkish throughout the entire Middle East and North Africa. So Christian programming into that entire region that we often refer to as closed countries.
It's an amazing thing that God opened the door through satellite distribution so that it cannot be blocked, because in many of those countries, the government would be absolutely opposed to Christian programming. But you also have connectivity with people and communication two-way because of the internet, correct?
Absolutely. If people can read, which is, of course, about half the people over there or more, then, of course, they can use the internet and they call us or contact us, I should say, virtually every day. Every day they're talking to our counselors usually through social media like WhatsApp or Telegram, one of those, because they're encrypted and gives them a little bit more security in being able to interact with us.
Good to keep in mind. Again, the web address for that is sat7usa.org. The letters S-A-T, the number 7, the letters USA.org. It's a great ministry. I would encourage our listening family to pray about getting on board with this ministry in faithful prayer and in support of this outreach as well. Staggering numbers for immigration. We're going to talk about that again with Dr. Rex Rogers. Very important topic for us to get a Christian perspective on this. It's something that we hear a lot about in the political realm. But tonight we want to take a different approach. Rex has picked out a very appropriate passage of Scripture for us to consider. And we'll come back and welcome your phone calls. Maybe you are an immigrant and you'd like to call and tell us your experience. 855-586-5433. At the 2024 Legacy Leaders Summit, you'll hear from Christian leaders as Dallas Theological Seminary celebrates a century of teaching truth and loving well. The Legacy Leaders Summit this September 12th and 13th features messages from Chuck Swindoll, David Jeremiah, and Erwin Lutzer, plus panel discussions, worship, and more. You may register at dts.edu/legacyleader. That's dts.edu/legacyleader. Following the brutal, horrific Hamas attack on Israel, Israeli soldiers fighting ruthless terrorists and Israeli children need help for emotional trauma.
In Hebrew, the number 18 symbolizes life, hope, and blessing. The Master Life Coach Training Institute, along with Compedia and the SEAL Future Foundation, extend this lifeline to Israeli military and their families.
Stand with Israel by donating as little as $18. At blessil.org to counter trauma. That's blessil.org. Tonight, our topic on Encouragement Live is Befriending Our Immigrant Neighbors. Think about that title. Dr. Rex Rogers, the president of SAT7, the web address sat7usa.org. And Rex, you came up with some rather amazing numbers as it relates to this topic. And talk to us about the premise and the statistics that we have.
Well, we all know because we've heard so much in the political campaigns about immigration and immigrants, especially in the last 3 years, but it certainly has not been an issue limited to that. But we have, let's use the word, unauthorized immigrants in the country in terms of, you know, you see different numbers. You see 9 million, 10 million, 11 million. But the Pew Research Center said 11 million, so we use that number. Mm. That's about 14%. Of the nation's population when you think of all immigrants total, because there are another, as you mentioned, 37 million that have come in the last numbers of years, last 20 years, who are lawful or authorized immigrants. So we have a very large population in the U.S. of foreign-born individuals.
Now, I want to come back to this number that you just quoted, because that 11 million you've suggested is 14.3%. Would that be of the nation's immigrant population or population as a whole?
Well, that's all immigrants make
okay.
up 14% of the so-called unauthorized. They make up about 3.5 or 4%.
Okay, good for us to keep that in mind. And you talked about how the population has grown steadily from 24 million in 2000 to almost 37 million in 2022. You know, whatever our political views about the U.S. immigration policy, those unauthorized and authorized immigrants in the United States, you make the point that we no longer have to go to them. They actually have come to us. And that kind of gives us a biblical and spiritual responsibility.
Well, if you think of the Great Commission in Matthew about go ye therefore into all the world and teach the gospel to all nations, yes, they're, you know, we send out missionaries. We need to continue to send out missionaries around the world, even if they use a different term mostly these days to refer to themselves. But yes, the population of the unreached are coming here. And, you know, I'd like to switch over and think of them as neighbors. Hmm. Now, neighbors can be non-immigrants, or in the sense that they've been here for five generations, can be our neighbors. Anybody can be our neighbor. But the immigrants are certainly our neighbors, whatever, again, our political views.
And again, we have a biblical mandate to love our neighbor as ourselves. And we're going to explore that and talk about a place where Jesus in Luke's gospel gave that mandate and then gave a powerful illustration of it from a person who was not a part of the native country in which he reached out to someone else. If you'd like to call us tonight and talk about this subject, again, not politically, but from a biblical point of view, 855-586-LIFE is our toll-free number. That's 855-586-5433. Also, I want to tell you when we come back about the 2024 Legacy Leaders Summit at Dallas Theological Seminary coming up September 12th and 13th. The web address to find out more about that is at dts.edu/legacyleader. Our number, 855-586-LIFE. We'll be back. Following the brutal and horrific Hamas attack on Israel, Israeli soldiers who have been fighting for months against ruthless terrorists in Gaza and children all over Israel suffer from significant emotional trauma and insecurity. They need help. They need the skills and tools to heal from their trauma-based fears and anxieties.
In Hebrew, the number 18 symbolizes life. It's Chai, a word that echoes hope and blessing. The Master Life Coach Training Institute, along with Compedia and the SEAL Future Foundation, extend this lifeline to Israeli military and their families, offering trauma assistance during these challenging times.
You can stand with Israel by donating as little as $18 at blessil.org. That's blessil.org, providing crucial training and support to counter trauma.
Donate now. Be a blessing.
Sat 7 is Satellite Christian Television.
Dr. Rex Rogers, president of Sat 7.
We broadcast throughout the Middle East and North Africa every day, 24/7, in Arabic, Farsi, and Turkish. Farsi is Iran. So we're speaking in the people's home and heart language. We're sharing the gospel.
To learn more or support this ministry, visit sat7usa.org. That's S-A-T, the number 7, USA.org.
Tony King on her new book, The Maze of Medicare.
I looked up on the internet how many books have biblical in regards to Medicare, and there was zero. And then God brought you into my life, and you helped me write The Maze of Medicare because we took Medicare and put scripture with it. Because people are stressed. They don't know what to do, where to turn.
You can order The Maze of Medicare at TonySays.com. That's T-O-N-I. TonySays.com. We're back on Encouragement Live tonight talking befriending our immigrant neighbors. Dr. Rex Rogers, president of Sat 7. A couple of things. The music you're hearing in the background produced by one of our colleagues, Brad Smithart. And you can Google Brad Smithart to find out how you can download this or many others of the cuts that he's produced. Very talented and gifted individual. Another thing I wanted to remind you about, the 2024 Legacy Leaders Summit at Dallas Theological Seminary. That's September 12th and 13th. And the speakers include Chuck Swindoll, David Jeremiah, and Erwin Lutzer. Great lineup. In fact, Rex, I bet when you were at Cornerstone University, you'd have loved to have those three men speaking on your campus.
Well, we've had a couple of them along the way, and they're fantastic speakers, still hitting the ball.
They are indeed that, and there'll be panel discussions, worship, and more. Again, you can register DTS, the Legacy Leaders Summit. You need to be on campus, dts.edu/legacy leader. That's dts.edu/legacy leader. Rex, I mentioned scripture talking about this subject of loving your immigrant or befriending your immigrant neighbors. Take us to some passages of scripture that give us the biblical mandate here.
Well, if we think of immigrants, as I say, in general, anybody, but immigrants in particular as neighbors, in the book of Leviticus is the first time we come across this, and it says, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself, I am the Lord." Now, that's a tall order.
Yeah.
To love anybody as yourself. And then later in the book of Matthew, we're told to welcome the stranger amongst us. We're told to love our enemies if they're perceived as such, and pray for even those who persecute us. We might think of the Taliban or Hamas or somebody like that. You mean love them? Yeah, they're human beings.
Yeah.
And then finally, of course, is the statement in the New Testament about love the Lord your God with all your soul and all your mind and all your heart and strength. And then the second great commandment, you shall love your neighbor as yourself.
And you've also identified another passage. In fact, a passage I wrote a book on, book titled Friends Indeed, which was published by Moody back many years ago, and it's out of print, but it's probably available online from eBay or Amazon. But the parable of the Good Samaritan, Rex, in my way of thinking, is probably the definitive expanded passage on this. Talk about that.
Yeah, I think it is, because the scribes or the, you know, the learned men around Jesus at that time were wanting to learn. They were also wanting to maybe catch him up or press him.
Yeah.
So they asked the question, well, you know, who's our neighbor? And Jesus taught them this parable. And in the process, he taught them that we're to love people who are not like us, and people who are, may not be able to love us in return, people maybe that are unlovely in some way. In other words, human beings. We're to love human beings.
855-586-5433, our toll-free number. Again, as I mentioned, if you are an immigrant in this country, maybe you've trusted Christ, maybe you have questions about your relationship with Christ, Rex and I would love to talk with you about it, and maybe you've had the opportunity to reach out and demonstrate the principle that Jesus quoted from the Old Testament in Mark 12, just before he gave the parable of the Good Samaritan, when he quoted the second commandment, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And Rex, that prompted them to ask the question, as you say, they were trying to play catch you a little bit, and who is my neighbor? They thought they had him, but they didn't, did they?
No, because he demonstrated that, you know, the Good Samaritan, all these other people passed by the struggling man by the road, but the Samaritan, who was not even of the same nation or ethnicity, stopped and cared for him, left money to make sure he was cared for after he was going to move on. And then, of course, he asked the scribes, well, you know, who's the neighbor here?
Hmm.
And it's the one who cares, the one who reaches out.
Yeah, showed him mercy. And that's and Jesus said to them, you go and do likewise. Now, my suspicion is the people to whom he was talking did not go and do likewise. But those of us who've trusted Christ as Savior, to me, that's a pretty pointed mandate for us in terms of how we feel about these people for whom Christ died.
And I think it is, and even Christians, and I've looked at my own life, I've seen it in others, we can hold on to biases or prejudices or discriminatory attitudes that we've had toward others different from ourselves, that maybe we've been taught by families or friends or our local culture, but it's there, and we need to apply Scripture to it and say, God, help us to go beyond that, forgive us, and help us to respond as you would respond.
You know, the question, who is our neighbor, is one that you suggested we tackle. And your question took me back to my seminary days and Dr. Charles Ryrie, who is now with the Lord, a great theologian, great scholar. His definition, I remember it very vividly in class. He said, your neighbor is anyone who is near you and who has a need. And I thought that was a pretty good definition. What do you think?
Well, I think so. It's the idea of proximity. And if they're nearby, then, of course, they are our neighbor. It's just pretty simple, really.
Yeah. And the parable of the Good Samaritan teaches us the fact that there is a mandate for us in this. Talk a little more about that. You know, we touched on it, but, give us exactly how you feel like God wants us in a practical way to carry out Jesus' mandate to go and do likewise.
Well, it says to love someone as yourself. And again, we're talking about neighbors, and in particular, we're talking about immigrants. Again, whatever the politics, these people are here. And whatever their background, they are human beings. And they have spiritual needs, first and foremost. They need spiritual relief. Of course, there's other ways that we can help them. And loving them does not mean that we have to agree on everything. Doesn't mean we endorse wrong, certainly, or evil belief or practices. It doesn't mean that we evaluate, making judgments between, you know, what's good and bad. But it does mean we love the person as Jesus loved us.
Yeah.
And that can start with just simply asking questions and sharing our friendship with them, because that's what they most need.
What do you say to a person who says, well, I'm not sure immigrants, especially if they're illegal immigrants, qualify as neighbors? How would you address that?
Well, they're going to have to answer the Lord, not me, because, as you said, a neighbor is someone in proximity. I think that's taught in the Old Testament and the New.
Yes.
You know, in the Old Testament, they were talking about people that were from people groups that were threatening.
Yes.
That were perhaps dangerous. And, you know, we don't have that for the most part. There's certainly crime and other things we have to concern ourselves with any group of people. But there's lots of people out there who simply are at an unsettled end of their rope. Just think yourself of, for whatever reasons, you've moved to another country. You speak only pieces of language, if any at all. You don't understand the culture. You don't have a job. You aren't sure you're even welcome. you're not sure where you're living in a week if you know where you are living today. I mean, there's a lot of anxiety and a lot of fear and a lot of needs on their part for someone to just, you know, figuratively put their arm around them.
You know, it seems to me that we have an incredible opportunity, given the total numbers of immigrants in this country. And as you say, many of them experiencing some of these challenges that they face of being from a different country, a different culture. And if we have the opportunity to reach out to them, maybe even to invite some of them into our homes for a meal, or perhaps take someone out to a meal, invite them to church, you know, that's a tremendous opportunity. We have a man, as I recall, and he's back in Pakistan right now, but he was an immigrant to this country from Pakistan, and he came to our church, and our people welcomed him with open arms and did some things to minister to him and encourage him. And I thought, what a tremendous thing that was. And, you know, again, part of this, Rex, comes down to just sort of having our eyes open to those people who are in proximity to us, wouldn't you say?
I think it is. I think it's, if you remember the metaphor, just building a bridge, building bridges.
Mm, yeah.
And I borrow that from a good Christian friend who's involved in evangelism and outreach to many people. But as I say, you share with the poor, you demonstrate the love of Christ by having compassion, by treating them honestly and impartially, justice in their relationships. You are absent any malice. They don't see that in you, or some kind of ulterior motive. You're taking care to protect them if you can, assist them even legally if you can, and, of course, never in any way putting them at risk. You want to put them at rest so that they can trust you and learn to trust you, and then they're going to be more open to what you have to say about your faith.
Very important principle there. We're talking with Dr. Rex Rogers, the president of SAT7. The toll-free number is 855-586-5433. Let's talk to Robert tonight. Robert, good to hear from you. Go ahead.
Yes, my mind's gone blank, but the book that just recently came out about ministers for sale, that's not the word, but it was a book by Maureen Basham, and it addressed this very issue that you're talking about tonight. And I hadn't finished the book, but it did address it, and it was wonderful what he thought about that.
Well, as I recall, Vadi Basham was an immigrant himself. Rex, I don't know him very well. I know of him.
Maureen Basham.
Oh, Maureen Basham. I'm sorry. I misunderstood what you said. My hearing is good, but not great. Okay. Are you familiar with that book by Maureen Basham?
In fact, it's laying here on my desk looking at me because I bought it as of 2 days ago, ready to be reading it. It's written by a lady named Megan Basham, a woman.
Okay, yes.
And the title of the book is, you're very close, the title was Shepherds for Sale, meaning pastoral ministers. And the question that she wrestles with in the book is whether evangelical, you know, Bible-believing evangelical leaders have flirted with sort of leftist or progressive ideas that are indeed anti-Christian in their at bottom. And that's what the book's about. Now, again, I haven't read the book yet, so I can't comment on it. I only read about it. It's certainly causing some controversy, but it's also causing some significant positive reaction. People are glad that she's written it and kind of raised this sort of warning. You know, again, whether or not she's got it all right, her question is solid, and that is that we need to make sure that whatever we say and do is aligned with the Word of God.
Yeah, and for sure that we're not, again, guilty of something that the New Testament addresses, and that is that those who are elders, leaders in the Church of Jesus Christ are not to be doing it for filthy lucre. Robert, thank you for calling us tonight. We appreciate hearing from you.
Thank you very much.
God bless. 855-586-5433 is our toll-free number. Love to hear from you tonight, especially on the topic of immigration. Our subject tonight, we're talking with on the subject of immigration. And Dr. Rex Rogers, the president of SAT7, will give that web address when we come back.
Here's a conversation from HisFaithfulStewards.com.
I'm so frustrated with my retirement account. Every time the market drops, it seems to take a long time just to get back to where it was before the drop and to start growing again.
What if I told you that there's a way to save for retirement that doesn't risk any loss of your money in the market, and you can still earn good returns?
What do you mean by good returns?
Well, the plans that I work with have averaged 8 to 14% per year over the last 10 years. And since they're guaranteed never to lose their principal, no one ever has to waste time making up for losses.
I've heard those kinds of accounts have a lot of fees.
Actually, most of the accounts that I work with have no fees.
His Faithful Stewards offers a free short video series that helps you understand more of your options for your retirement savings, delivered to your email each week. Go to HisFaithfulStewards.com and sign up for the free video series. That's HisFaithfulStewards.com.
Dr. Frank Minerth was a pioneer in Christian counseling, and I had the privilege of working with him for several years.
Christian psychiatrist Dr. Tom Schoaf of the Hope Speaks Clinic in suburban Dallas.
I'm looking for Christian psychiatrists, psychologists, and therapists who would be willing to join me in carrying on Dr. Minerth's legacy.
To learn about working with Dr. Schoaf and his team of Christian professionals at Hope Speaks Clinic, you may visit hopespeaks.com/opportunity.
When you need to consider independent or assisted living or memory care for a parent or spouse, Restoration Senior Living provides a distinctly Christian setting with the most stringent quality care. Restoration's innovative program addresses the medical, emotional, and spiritual dimensions, leading to an enhanced quality of life. You can learn more at restorationsl.com. That's restorationsl.com.
For over 30 years, Don Hawkins has provided radio encouragement with a variety of gifted guests. Now you can be encouraged by these interviews with guests like Greg and Aaron Smalley, Dan Cathy, Dr. Frank Minerth, Josh McDowell, and more. Subscribe to the weekly Encouragement for You podcast, dropping Wednesdays at lifeaudio.com or at your favorite podcast app.
Welcome back to Encouragement Live. Our toll-free number is 855-586-LIFE. Here again is your host, Don Hawkins, author of Master Discipleship Today.
Once again, we're talking tonight with Dr. Rex Rogers, the president of SAT7. As I mentioned before the break, the web address, sat7usa.org. They are reaching out to, we might say, neighbors in the Middle East and North Africa, because in one sense, everybody on the planet in this world today in which we live in the 21st century would qualify as a neighbor to some degree. And they're providing satellite Christian television and also internet-connected programming. And they're doing so in a variety of languages, including Farsi and Turkish and Arabic. And if you'd like to learn more, if you'd like to pray about being a part of that ministry, visit sat7usa.org. Rex, immigrants, whether they're authorized or unauthorized, are likely living near us in the United States. As you've mentioned, they're close to us. They're our neighbors. But they have unique challenges compared to most of our neighbors. Talk about that, please.
Well, I think they do. And maybe if our listeners can think about maybe when they were younger, maybe recently when they have moved from one city or even a state to another place in this country, pursuing a job perhaps or going to school, and it creates certain anxieties, it creates certain detachments from family. Now, do that in terms of leaving a country and going halfway around the world to come to the United States, there's detachment from their families, which is a very significant issue, especially for Middle Eastern families. They really value family a great deal. And if they've left them behind, they can feel isolated now. You heard the phrase, it was a book years ago, Lonely in the Crowd.
Yeah.
And there's fears, there's lack of resources, they feel maybe unwelcome. There's concern about how to feed their children. And, of course, there are some immigrants who come with significant resources and abilities that don't face as many of these practical issues. But most of them do, and even if they have a lot of resources, they still can be detached from their family and feel that sense of loneliness. And that's where, as I said before, as Christians, as believers, just be a friend. Just be there as a friend, and that's, you know, certainly, hopefully, we know how to be that.
You know, it's interesting, the community where we're located right now, the church I'm pastoring here, we have an outreach program where we are reaching out to new people who move into the community. And we're taking them a welcome to the community packet and actually having an opportunity to talk with some of them. And Rex, it amazes me the number of people from a variety of places, from Africa, from India, from Pakistan, from the Middle East, several Palestinian people, Jewish lady last week. And again, we're reaching out to our neighbors, and I think it's great that we have the opportunity to connect with some of those who, many of whom have just maybe first-generation immigrants to this country.
I think that's a good point, Don. I'm glad you said it that way, because go back 10 years or 5 or 7 years, and if you say immigrant, most people thought Mexico, Mexican or Latin countries, and there's a degree of truth in that, and those folks from Latin and South American countries are still coming in the United States. Now the idea of immigrants gets associated significantly with Middle Easterners, same in Europe, because there are a lot who are coming, specifically perhaps Muslim, but not all of them are Muslim. And then there are these folks from China, from Southeast Asia, from African countries, as you mentioned, and even some from still from Europe. So we've got immigrants who are coming literally from all over the world. And there's one sense, you know, why are they coming? Well, because God's blessed us with a country at this point with freedom and opportunity and the capacity to flourish and to make a better life. That's what Ellis Island and the Statue of Liberty and all of that was all about. And we still are that. We still are a beacon of hope in the world.
Now, what should we try to learn about our immigrant neighbors?
Well, I guess I would say start by asking non-threatening questions. You know, that's the sort of everyday questions, friendship, like you would any stranger. You wouldn't meet a stranger on the subway and ask them, you know, a real personal question. But you could ask them about their job. You can ask them about their what their interests are. You could ask them about their favorite food. I have a friend who is himself, he and his wife, lawful immigrants to the United States, now American citizens. And he talked about the fact that women in particular, you know, talk about what their favorite food, just like that, they're going to answer and just boom, you're in their kitchen. Established, because everybody likes food. Everybody has a favorite food. You can bring them small gifts, not something inappropriate, you know, coffee, something like that. And ask about their families. That's a big one. Just ask about, again, in a non-threatening, not too personal way, but, you know, are your mom and dad still living? That's something that I ask people from time to time that I meet them. And, you know, that tells you something about where they are in life.
You know, when we welcome people to the community here with our church outreach program, one of our ladies bakes small loaves of bread. And so in the welcome packet, we have those small loaves of bread, kind of, a small gift. And we like to ask them questions if they are able to talk with us. Some people just, you know, come to the door and thank you for the packet and, you know, we're on our way. But it's amazing. Some people stand there and we don't intrude. You know, it's not a situation where we're trying to be intrusive, but it's a great bridge builder. And again, asking those questions is, I think, a great thing. Talk about maybe some specific ways we can be of help to immigrant neighbors who may need some help.
Well, if you ask questions, maybe you find out what their, you know, what their pain points are, what their pressure points might be. And that often gets back to language barriers and is not so much in being able to communicate to buy groceries, maybe, but to fill out forms. And if they're going to go and interact with any government agency or even a corporation to get a job, they're going to fill out forms. And that is a huge challenge for English and second language. And if you can be of any assistance in that, that's an enormous help. Another thing about language is, you know, the English language, maybe more than any on earth, is just loaded with idioms.
Oh, yes.
with little sayings that we've talked about before that, you know, make sense to us. Like, I have a frog in my throat when I cough.
Yes.
Well, do you really? And it doesn't make any sense to them. So if we could help them with idioms. And one way you could do that is ask them, do they have certain idioms like that in their language? And you'll find out they do. And they're funny. You know, they're just funny because it strikes us the same way it strikes them. But helping them connect that way. And then eventually, yeah, you're going to share Christ. But you can share that indirectly and softly and inobtrusively, not ashamedly, but gently and out of respect.
So it is appropriate to evangelize our immigrant natives, our neighbors, I should say, not natives, but neighbors. They would be natives of some other country if they're immigrating to this country. But could you elaborate a little more on sharing the gospel with them and maybe the best approach to take?
Well, I mentioned the other friend who is really an expert on evangelizing, and he reaches out mostly to Muslim people, but this works with anyone. In talking about Jesus, keep the focus on Jesus, and you can talk about your own experience in sense of the impact of your faith in your life, how God has answered prayers in your life. Well, who can question that? You're talking about your own life and demonstrating why you have faith or how God has protected or answered prayer. And keep the focus on Jesus. And then if possible, whenever possible, to introduce the Bible and either quote Scripture or read Scripture. Why? Because it's God's word. It's not your word, mine. It's God's word. And I don't mean it like some magic potion. I mean the Spirit of God illuminates and blesses and helps people understand his word, and it's convicting to hearts in ways that what you and I say are not.
The Apostle Paul said in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And the author of Hebrews in Hebrews 4:12 said it's living and powerful, the word of God, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and helps to discern the thoughts and motives of the heart. No question about it, Rex. Somehow we need to make sure we're using his word. I remember, again, I can't remember who originally said this, but God honors his book, not our brightness.
Well, if you're at a point in a relationship where you can, you know, you can buy and you can offer them, if not the whole Bible, the New Testament, and offer to meet with them and read together if they want, or if language is an issue, or if you don't have the whole Bible, just the book of John. And again, this applies to anyone who doesn't know the Lord, who doesn't know biblical Christianity, but especially immigrants coming from other cultures with other religious backgrounds and traditions. And remember, many of them, depending on where they came from, have been taught that Christianity is like the white man's religion, or Christianity is the Western capitalist imperialist religion. There's something bad about it.
Yes.
That somehow Christianity is the source of all things evil in the world. They've been taught that. And they've been taught a lot of funky, weird ideas about, you know, the Virgin Mary, or about the Trinity, or about, try to avoid doctrinal disputes and just get to who is Jesus and he loves you.
And tonight, as we are talking with many of you around the country, we want you to know what the summary of the gospel is. The good news is that Jesus Christ, God's Son, was sent into the world to die for all of us, immigrants and others alike. And the reality is, the Bible says we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The penalty for sin is death, Romans 6:23. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And tonight, whether you're an immigrant or a longtime, many generation resident of the United States of America, you need to place your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I would encourage you to place your trust in him if you haven't. If you have questions about that, give us a call, 855-586-LIFE, 855-586-5433. We'll be right back.
At the 2024 Legacy Leaders Summit, you'll hear from Christian leaders as Dallas Theological Seminary celebrates a century of teaching truth and loving well. The Legacy Leaders Summit this September 12th and 13th features messages from Chuck Swindoll, David Jeremiah, and Erwin Lutzer, plus panel discussions, worship, and more. You may register at dts.edu/legacyleader. That's dts.edu/legacyleader. Dallas Theological Seminary President Dr. Mark Yarborough on the story of Scripture.
It's a two-day seminar that walks individuals from Genesis to Revelation and tells the grand story of God and what He is doing.
Don't miss your opportunity to find your place in the greatest story ever told.
And we find out by the time we get to the Gospels, it's all about Jesus.
To learn more or sign up, visit thestoryofscripture.org, thestoryofscripture.org.
Here's a conversation from hisfaithfulstewards.com.
I'm so frustrated with my retirement account. Every time the market drops, it seems to take a long time just to get back to where it was before the drop and to start growing again.
What if I told you that there's a way to save for retirement that doesn't risk any loss of your money in the market, and you can still earn good returns?
What do you mean by good returns?
Well, the plans that I work with have averaged 8 to 14% per year over the last 10 years. And since they're guaranteed never to lose their principal, no one ever has to waste time making up for losses.
I've heard those kinds of accounts have a lot of fees.
Actually, most of the accounts that I work with have no fees.
His Faithful Stewards offers a free short video series that helps you understand more of your options for your retirement savings, delivered to your email each week. Go to hisfaithfulstewards.com and sign up for the free video series. That's hisfaithfulstewards.com.
Final segment of our program tonight as we talk about befriending our immigrant neighbors. 855-586-LIFE is the toll-free number. Dr. Rex Rogers is the president of SAT7. The web address to learn more about their ministry reaching out to neighbors in the Middle East and North Africa with the good news of Jesus Christ through satellite television and internet is sat7usa.org. Again, the letters S-A-T, the number 7, usa.org. One more quick reminder about the 2024 Legacy Leaders Summit featuring Chuck Swindoll, David Jeremiah, and Erwin Lutzer. That's on the campus of Dallas Theological Seminary, September 12th and 13th, and there'll be panel discussions, worship, and more. Great opportunity for anybody involved in Christian ministry leadership, pastors, others. Be good to send your pastor to this. The web address, dts.edu/legacyleader. That's dts.edu/legacyleader. Rex, as I think about the ministry of SAT7, I can't help thinking that in some ways, your ministry to people in the Middle East and North Africa involves probably some people who are immigrating from one country to another, or maybe would like to immigrate to the United States. I don't know, sometimes you have some letters before you are close by, or emails from people that have been impacted by the ministry of SAT7.
We'll find one of the things that we find is happening in the church in the Middle East, and we're reminded about that on a regular basis by our colleagues, is that when people do leave, when Christians leave countries, so in this particular case, the Middle East, and in an area where there are very few Christians to begin with, it's like a brain drain, if you will, in the churches. And it's really can be, now it could be God's will and the blessing in their lives, and you know, we're not questioning that or preventing them somehow from leaving, but at the same time, you know, you wonder how God is working that He needs his witness and His people there. So we see that on a regular basis. And yes, we do hear from people, usually through social media, testimonials, we call them, because we have viewer counselors with all the languages who are ready to talk to people. Here's one from a man from Afghanistan said, I am grateful to you, dear friends, for remembering us and being aware of our situation. May the Lord Jesus Christ be pleased to bless you. Excuse me. I believe that the Lord serves and helps us. We must be in prayer. So obviously the man has some Christian understanding, if not outright a believer, and he's in the middle of a very difficult situation, worse for women, of course.
Yes.
In those countries where the Taliban is still putting even more pressure now on women than they said they would when they took power.
Yeah, so it's something we need to keep in mind. When you support the ministry of Sat 7, you are helping their ministry reach out to people who are neighbors in the Middle East and North Africa. And I think that's an incredibly positive thing to do. Again, you can learn more and see more of those testimonials at sat7usa.org. Rex, is it possible to be pro-immigrant, but not so much as a political position, but as a Christian or taking a spiritual perspective? And if so, what does that mean?
Well, yes, I believe it is. You can be pro-immigrant because that just means pro-people from another country.
Yeah.
Just like our ancestors. I happen to be of English, British Isles heritage, and so I know, of best we can tell, there are four brothers by the name of Rogers that came over way early in the 1680s. I mean, way back in colonial time. Others, you know, on my wife's side, it was turn of the 19th century. Her people came from Scotland, you know. So you just have that whole thing. We're all immigrants in that sense. But legal immigration. Is I say legal because I believe that's appropriate in terms of order.
Yes.
And it brings to the U.S. new talent, able-bodied workers, new ideas. It enriches us. I think that's one of the reasons God allowed different races and ethnicities to develop. It makes our life on earth richer and more interesting. Now, we realize that whatever our problems with immigration politics, there's all kinds of immigrants, the people again. And some of them, yes, they're criminals and they're dangerous. Some of them are political agitators, maybe should be sent back. But many of them are just real people with real families who truly hunger for freedom and opportunity and a better life. Just like the 2.5 million that went through Ellis Island a century or so ago.
You know, you mentioned your four Rogers brothers who came over from England. I have English heritage on both sides of my family. My mother was an Edwards, directly descended from Jonathan Edwards, who was a rather well-known preacher in the early days of this country. And my dad was descended from a man who sailed with Sir Francis Drake, and his name was William Hawkins, and they were known as the Outlaws. They were pirates, so I'm pirate on one side and a preacher on the other side, but all, again, were immigrants at one point or another. So I think it's important for us to keep that in mind as we talk about this, that to some degree or another, we are all representatives of the Emma Lazarus, give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to be breathed free.
Absolutely. And of course, as you know, again, whatever the race or ethnicity or nationality, we'll all go back to Adam and Eve.
You know,
we're one human race that God created, male and female. He created them. And he appoints the times and the boundaries of our habitation. It says in the book of Acts, he determines where we should live. And it talks about, as you know, in heaven, there's no Jew, there's no Greek, there's no male, there's no female. And another place in the book of Revelation talks about all the tribes and kindreds will be there, representatives from there. When we get to heaven, we're going to meet Moses. He was an Old Testament Jew,
right?
Really different from you and me, okay? And that's going to be part of the joy and blessing of heaven. But I think, again, God's people are from all walks of life, and that behooves us then to demonstrate that love for people. That doesn't mean we can't have political views, or it doesn't mean that we shouldn't be concerned about open borders or crime or any of those kinds of things and vote our conscience accordingly, but we still need to focus on love for people.
Yes, such an important principle. And you mentioned something earlier, Rex, about the benefit we have of immigrants. My wife and I, Kathy and I, actually find ourselves seeking more medical care now than we did a number of years ago. And somehow that seems to go with the years or the, you know, the years that pass along. But a number of our doctors are from India, from Africa, they are just absolutely, in our opinion, major contributors to the quality of life.
There are, and you know, we've had this sad experience the last few months of anti-Semitic, anti-Jewish kind of violence statements and protests in the streets and on campuses. And it makes me kind of sick because not only are they talking about fellow students and faculty and staff members at those universities who are Jewish, but if you look at American society, there are Jewish Americans in every walk of life and some of the most accomplished people we can think of that have benefited and enriched our lives. Think of, you know, Steven Spielberg, the movie mogul, and the incredible movies the guy's made.
Yeah.
There's Jewish people everywhere, and they're God's chosen people in a spiritual sense. But again, with this anti-Semitism is a matter of hate. It's not a matter of biblical Christianity.
And it's certainly important, I think, that we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. The psalmist reminded us, and I think that's a very important thing for us to be doing in this day and time, as well as, again, prayerfully considering how we want to express our convictions in the days ahead. Now, we've been described as a nation of immigrants, but this is really a major tension point in American politics. Help us unpack in these last couple of minutes that we have some of the issues involved and even how we can pray about this, Rex.
Well, I know we don't have a lot of time, so I'd say that from my point of view, at least, illegal immigration and open borders, which is significantly a threat to our country, that those are the problems, not immigrants per se, individuals.
Yeah, agree.
And when you get down to it in terms of prayer, pray for our political leaders, whatever their party, that they'll come to agreement on how to administer a legal and compassionate immigration and citizenship system. How can people become Americans if they really want to become Americans? We welcome them. Pray for immigrants who are here now that they'll grow an appreciation for Americans' history, our ideals, our opportunities. They'll come to love the country as we love the country. And then finally, pray that immigrants will hear and respond to the gospel.
Boy, so such timely words of advice from Dr. Rex Rogers. And again, let's look for opportunities to reach out to those around us. Remember the mandate that we talked about at the very beginning, the second great commandment Jesus gave in Mark 12 and also in Matthew, based on Moses in the book of Leviticus, that we're to love our neighbor as ourselves. We've defined a neighbor as somebody who's nearby, in proximity to us and has needs. And so let's look for those opportunities not only to pray as Rex expressed to us, but also to put feet to our prayers, to reach out to them, to look to be of help, to do what the Good Samaritan did. He, again, was a man from a different ethnic background, a mixed race, and yet he was the one, not the priest and not the Levite, who went after the man who needed help, who actually invested in him time and money and resources and even came back to check on him. So let's be that kind of Christian. Dr. Rex Rogers, always a joy to have you on the program, my brother, and we appreciate so much the ministry of Sat7.
Blessings, Don.
Thank you, my brother. Once again, the website to learn more about the ministry of Sat7, sat7usa.org. And let's remember that ministry in prayer. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate the team of ministry tonight, Danny and Chris and Cora and Keith taking care of things on the network. And for all of us who are part of Encouragement Live and Encouragement Communications, thank you. Make your place to church tomorrow. God bless. Good night.